In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I think most of you know about my adopted nephews, right? We support Joel Fritchie, the missionary to Dominican Republic. He's married to my wife's sister, Clarion, and together they've adopted three boys. And they've been here on a few occasions. I assume they'll probably be back again next time they're in the States. And the reason I mention them today is because their experience of adopting their sons really taught me a lot about adoption and what goes on and some implications about parenthood. So again, these boys that I'm talking about are their half-brothers. They all come to their family by way of an orphanage in Vladivostok, Russia. And if you've known anybody that's ever attempted to do an international adoption, there is a ton of paperwork, a lot of hoops to jump through. Vladivostok's on the east side of Russia. They used to have to go to Moscow on the west side of Russia and then go back to Vladivostok just to get, papers and documents signed. It's a long, arduous process that costs thousands and thousands of dollars. But it's a process well worth the effort. Today, they're a happy family. They have a rewarding life. The process of adoption, though, makes one thing absolutely clear, and that is that adoptive parents are parents by choice. And in that aspect, they are different from a lot of other parents. As you know, not all mothers and fathers take on that role intentionally. Sometimes kids have a way of showing up unexpectedly. Sometimes that news is received with fear and trembling. But with adoptive parents, you don't have that experience. This is a deliberate choice, a very well thought out plan. There's no accidents or surprises, but adopted children are their parents' sons and daughters as a result of a sober and deliberate decision by those parents to make them their sons and daughters. It's sad and ironic then sometimes when adoptive children sometimes think that they're unwanted or feel rejected, and sometimes they do. But the truth is they're anything but that. They are wanted by loving people who earnestly desire to have children and who made an intentional decision to become parents. And of course, the reason I bring all of this up is because in the epistle reading for today, for All Saints Day, St. John reminds his readers that all the saints, that is, all who believe in Christ, are children of God. Now, we throw that phrase around all the time, and let's be honest, there are different meanings of this phrase and different ways in which this is used. In one sense, everybody is a child of God, right? I mean, we're all made in the image of God. To be human is to be a child of God. He's the father of us all. In that one sense, yes, everybody's a child of God. But Scripture also talks about children of God in a higher sense. The Scriptures talk about those sons of God who will inherit the Father's kingdom. And of course, to speak of this type of a child of God is to talk about a child in a higher sense, a rightful heir of the kingdom. These are people who are not just children according to creation, but they are children through faith in Jesus. And while John doesn't explicitly state it here, it's understood that believers are God's children by adoption. In other words, God deliberately chose to make us his children. St. Paul writes about this rather eloquently to the Ephesians when he says, "For he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." So when John, in the text for today, writes about our status as children, he does so just in order to marvel at the love of God. He says, "Behold, what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and so we are." We're not just called children of God, we are children of God. And why are we God's children? Well, simply because he loves us. It is God's agape love for us and the whole world that moved him to send his only begotten Son into the world to die and to rise, that we might no longer be objects of his wrath. This is another phrase that Paul uses that to describe not the sons of God, but those who are objects of his wrath. But now on account of Christ, we are reconciled to the Father, and all who trust in him are his dear children, not just his friends, not just servants, which would have been fair enough, you know, to be let off the hook, to not have your sins held against you. But God goes beyond this and says, not only do you not have the punishment coming, you get all the blessings of being an heir. And it's that unfathomable love that he has chosen, that motivated him to choose us, to make us children and heirs of his kingdom. So John says, behold, what kind of love the Father has given to us. And going on, John writes, beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. This is the hope of all the faithful, that at his appearing, we will be like him and behold him, God, no longer hidden, but in all his glory. At that time, we will be like him, not, of course, not exactly like him because we're still creatures, he's the creator, but we will be similar. As he is righteous, so we shall be filled with his righteousness. As God is love, so also we will be filled with his perfect love toward one another and toward him. As he is holy, so we shall be perfectly pure without any taint of sin. As he is life, so shall we be immortal. We will stand in his presence and see the face of God. And this is the sure and certain hope of all the saints, that is, of all God's children, that at the resurrection we will see our Father and go home to be with him. Now, John says these beautiful words of comfort and encouragement and, you know, marveling in the love of the Father. But then he also gives a word of law. We're not yet holy and righteous. We're not yet what we will be. We're not free of our sinful flesh, and so we need to be reminded of what's expected of and appropriate for God's children. So he writes, everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. As adopted children of the Heavenly Father, we're to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. Therefore, children of God cannot live as children of the world. As God's children, we must constantly struggle against sin and temptation in an effort aided by the Holy Spirit to purify ourselves as he is pure and to be what God says we are, namely, his own children. Writing on this text, Martin Luther says, God does not tolerate the hypocritical Christian who considers it sufficient for them to believe that they are Christians and yet remain in sins and filth and are not changed. If they believed sincerely that they are children of God, they would not be polluted but would purify themselves. To put it another way, to be a child of God means we have quite a family name to live up to. This last week, I went home to Iowa and spent some time with my dad. It was his 80th birthday. But going back there, you know, brings back all these memories of childhood and growing up. And one of the things I remember hearing a lot, in especially my teenage years, was this phrase that usually it was my mother who would say, no son of mine. And, you know, it was in the context of, you know, no son of mine is going to leave the house dressed like that, or, you know, no son of mine is going to go out running around or be with those friends or do that thing or whatever. In other words, there's this expectation, look, you can't do that, not just because you can't do it, but because you're my kid, and that's going to reflect on me, and I'm not going to let that fly. Well, brothers, sisters, we have, we're part of another family that is very, very holy. And in the same way, we need to remember whose sons and daughters we are. To be a child of God means that we refuse to be a child of the world. God graciously chose us to make us his children, chose to make us his children. He's given us faith in his Son. As St. John explains in the prologue of his gospel, he says, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this faith that we have is God's gift to us. And it's brought about by his great love for us. And it's come about by no worthiness or merit of our own. It's just a gift. And we dare not reject that gift. We dare not choose to do anything but value and treasure this precious gift that we've been given. You know, the devil wants nothing more than to see the saints reject these gifts, to turn them away, to look on them as unworthy things, to treat them as worthless. He works to turn us against our Father. He tempts us to embrace the world in the hopes that we'll reject our place as God's children. And the only way to resist him and remain faithful to our calling as God's dear children is to abide in Christ. A few verses earlier in this text, John says as much when he writes, "And now, dear children, continue in Christ, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed at his coming." You know, when dad comes home, you don't want to be caught doing something you shouldn't, right? Same sort of idea. We must abide with Christ because apart from him, we can do nothing. Even with him, we still fail in our attempts to live up to our name and to be the children that we ought to be. After all, John says, we're not yet what we will be. But as long as we abide in Christ, and in humility we lay our sins before him, we confess him to him, all our guilt, we look to him in faith and trust his promises in Christ, then all our sins are covered. We stand in that relationship of grace with the Father. We remain his children. I guess the thing I want you to leave you with today is just simply this. That, you know, we often think about what a great comfort it is to say that we're children of God. And it's true. That's a great blessing to think of yourself as a child of God. But don't forget that being a child of God also bears with it some responsibility. You've got a family name to live up to. And so we're to purify ourselves as our Father is pure. In this world, we'll never achieve perfect purity. We'll always stand in need of forgiveness. But the sure and certain hope we have is that as children of God, one day the struggle with sin will be over. One day we will be pure. We, along with all the saints, will be like our God. We'll be gathered in the kingdom, and then we'll see him as he is. God grant it to us all. Amen. Let's stand now, and we'll continue by confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.